Let's take our Bibles this evening, if you would, and turn to Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and we will continue in our study of the book of Proverbs. And we are still dealing with some, I believe here, laying down some foundational truths. And we're going to find here in our text that he hints at two things. He talks about how to get deliverance, and he basically says that this book is helpful to get deliverance from the evil man and also deliverance from the strange woman, which he would expound later. He's going to talk much about the evil man and what the evil man does, and also later spend several chapters talking about the strange woman. But we have that in form of an introduction in the second chapter of the book of Proverbs. And so notice here, we're going to pick up in Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 10. So Proverbs 2, 10. The Word of God says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the strain from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths." Now notice verse 16, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." I want to draw your attention, if you would, to three words that we have repeated for us twice. The first time in verse number 12, "to deliver thee." And then again in verse number 16, "to deliver thee." Now, we have in verse 12, the reference is to deliver thee from the evil man. And then in verse 16, "to deliver thee from the strange woman." So I want to preach this evening a message I've entitled, "To Deliver Thee." And we could add the perhaps the longer title, "To Deliver Thee from the Evil Man and the Strange Woman." Now we have examined in the first part of Proverbs chapter number 2 the great generosity of our God, who liberally gives wisdom to those who earnestly welcome it. Now we know that God gives wisdom, as he said, notice, in verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." Verse 7, "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints." So God is generous in his offer of wisdom, to give wisdom. And we know that there is a condition that is placed upon God's giving of this wisdom. And he says in verse 1, 3, and 4, "If you will receive his words, if you will cry out for knowledge, if you will seek for her as silver and as for hid treasures." And so we see that to understand the fear of the Lord and to find the knowledge of God is predicated upon our response to God's words and his commandments. And so we find that in the first part of the chapter. And so we have understood the great value of acquiring wisdom for this life. While wickedness is calling, we also see that wisdom is crying out, according to chapter number 1. Now here we have the distinction that is made between wickedness and wisdom. Both have a profound impact upon our lives, and we saw that in chapter number 1. The book of Proverbs is important for our lives because it gives us what we need, and it also carefully exposes the dangers that we face. Now here he talked about in the first part of Proverbs 2 as to seek after wisdom, because God is ready and able to give it to you. And if you want to understand the fear of the Lord, if you want to find the knowledge of God, if you want to understand righteousness, judgment, equity, and every good path, You must fulfill your responsibility because God has made this available. But then he goes on in the second part of the chapter and he tells us why it is so important. Because we need deliverance from, as he says, the evil man, and we need deliverance from the strange woman. In other words, there is a threat upon our lives. The Christian life is likened to a battle. We are likened to soldiers because there's the threat. And we find that that threat is mentioned in two ways in the second part of Proverbs 2, and that is deliverance from the evil man and deliverance from the strange woman. Now, I want us to consider, because he's talking here about wisdom, and he says in verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. And so understand what happens here. He has talked about, in the first part of chapter 2, how to get that wisdom. Remember what he said? He said, receive my words, hide my commandments, incline your ear, apply to thine heart, cry after it, lift up your voice after it, seek after her, search for her, ask for his treasures, because God will give it to you. And so now he's assuming, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. And so understand, the reason why we need to have those things and retain wisdom is because there's a threat coming. And the wisdom that God gives us is what is going to give us deliverance from the evil man and from the strange woman. So I would say that this is very important for us this evening as we consider this passage, to deliver thee. Now I want us to consider, first of all, as we examine the second part of Proverbs 2, is the entrance of God's wisdom. The entrance of God's wisdom. Notice verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. So we find here the entrance of God's wisdom. Now, this book is about wisdom. We've already seen that. As a matter of fact, go back to chapter 1, verse 2. Notice how this book opens up. He declares to us what this book will do for us. And chapter 1, verse 2 says this, to know wisdom. That's where it begins. That's where the whole book of Proverbs begins. He says, this book is written to know wisdom. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. So we've been introduced to wisdom. That's what the book is about. Then he says later in verse 20, notice what we learn about wisdom. Wisdom crieth without. So we see that this book was written to give us wisdom. We also have learned that wisdom is crying and making herself known. But then we go to chapter 2 and verse 2, and the Bible says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. We see that wisdom must be received and sought after. But we also would see later in Proverbs 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We see that wisdom, and understand that wisdom is the most important thing that we can gain in this book. Later in chapter number 9, verse 10, the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we know that we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom, he says, this book will give you wisdom. Then he says, wisdom is crying out. And then he says, you must make sure that you receive this wisdom, that you seek after this wisdom. And so now we see that wisdom has made an entrance into our lives. But there's two things that this wisdom, as it enters into our, as he says here, our hearts, does. We see, first of all, that the entrance of wisdom is pleasant. Notice, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. So notice there that the entrance of wisdom is pleasant. Now we learn that wisdom will preserve us from the evil man and from the strange woman. He says in the next verse, in verse number 11, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding, notice, shall keep thee. We will see that later at the end of the chapter. And so we have already determined that wisdom is the ability to use knowledge aright. Knowledge is what we gain as far as our understanding of things and the things that we know to be truth, but then we must use that knowledge in the right way, and that is where wisdom steps in. A wise man is one who uses the knowledge he receives from God in a way that is pleasing to God. Now, we must be careful to note that this wisdom here, notice the entrance of this wisdom. How does this wisdom become pleasant? Because it is entered into the heart. Do you see that? He says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. He says specifically thy heart. Now, I believe that's important, and this is not the only place we find it in the Word of God. I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 4. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, we know that the children of Israel who were delivered from the Egyptian bondage, we know that there was 40 years of wilderness wanderings, and we know that a whole generation died to give way to the next generation that would take over the land. And here the book of Deuteronomy is they're preparing the children of Israel to go into the promised land. And he reminds them of something that is very important, and that is this truth. When we consider the commandments of God and the words of God, we must always make sure that we are receiving the words of God in our hearts. Not just our heads. Or not just that we have an outward conformity. It must be in the heart. Notice Deuteronomy 4. Notice verse 9. The Bible says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy son's son. So notice here, we have a classic example of the soul and the heart being used here interchangeably. Notice the Bible says that we have to take heed unto ourselves to keep our soul diligently. He talks to the children of Israel, and then he says, and lest that they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And so here, God emphasizes to this next generation that is going to go into the promised land, remember the things that you receive from God. Make sure they're in your heart. Guard your heart, your soul. Later in chapter 8, go to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Notice verse 1 and 2 again, what he says. Deuteronomy 8 verse 1 and 2. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in to possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. You see what God is interested in? The heart. And here in Proverbs 2, God makes a point to tell us here to make sure that when we're talking about the entrance of wisdom, wisdom is truly entered into man when it enters the heart. Not when it is a mental assent on our part, or not just if it is an outward conformity. God reminds the children of Israel that they remember the children of Israel came out of the land, but then throughout the wilderness wanderings they were murmuring. Then they finally got to the promised land about to cross over, and they were faithless. They did not believe, and God says it exposed their heart. They were all traveling together. There was this outward conformity, but their hearts was far removed from God. You see, it is possible for us to be in church and to hear the preaching of the Word of God, to hear the teaching of the Word of God, but our hearts be far removed from God. The heart has such a great importance that later in Proverbs 4:23, he tells us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You see, it is only in the heart that wisdom has any life and power. We are not just dealing with an outward conformity, but rather with an inward transformation in the heart. It is only when wisdom is entered into the heart of man that knowledge can become pleasant. An outward conformity to the neglect of inward observance will only make one miserable. Outward conformity alone makes the soul dry and barren. Inward wisdom satisfies the longing of the soul. So in this entrance of God's wisdom, we see that the entrance of wisdom is pleasant when it is in the heart. But we also see the exercise of wisdom preserves. Notice what he says in verse 11. He says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." Now, discretion here is an interesting word is mentioned in the first chapter. If you notice in verse number 4, remember what he said? He says to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now, discretion is really misunderstood today. Discretion is often misunderstood as refraining from confronting someone. When someone does something evil, don't confront them, just let them figure it out on their own. That's not discretion. The word discretion means actually to plan. The idea of discretion is to, if you would, to count the cost, to think beforehand. This is someone who reasons with the truth before taking action. John Phillips, he put it this way. He says, it means making decisions with care, with eyes opened. If we have discretion, we weigh what we are doing and where we are going. Wisdom gives discretion. Discretion gives direction. We live in a perilous world where we see that we need discretion. Think about this again. He says, wisdom gives discretion, and discretion gives direction. So this idea of discretion is the idea to plan beforehand. Before we make a decision, to give some forethought, and wisdom gives us that discretion that we need. And so notice that this discretion is going to preserve us. Understanding shall keep thee. You see, wrong decision in our lives come about when we do not exercise discretion and understanding. We are commanded to give thought to consider, to ponder the path ahead. Thoughtlessness or thoughtless decisions always lead to sin. When we do things by impulse, will we never stop and consider and think for just a moment before we act? And by the way, part of child rearing is doing that. It's to help a child to realize when they do something impulsively, to help them and to teach them how to pause and to think and to have discretion, to plan ahead, to think about the consequences. And that is part of a parent's job, to take their child when they do certain things and to impart wisdom to them and to help them to give some thought before they act. So we find here, notice, the entrance of God's wisdom. The entrance of wisdom is pleasant when it is in the heart, and the exercise of wisdom preserves. Now we find it is pleasant and it preserves from what? From what the world says is pleasant, and preserves us from the destruction that accompanies the evil man and the strange woman. Which brings us here to the next thing. So we see the entrance of God's wisdom, but secondly, we see the deliverance from the wicked. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12 through 15, actually down to the end of verse 19, he deals with, again, those two areas, the evil man and the strange woman. And we need deliverance from those. You see, we must consider the truth that we cannot change the evil man, but we can change the evil man's influence upon our lives. That's important. Now, you remember we talked about that in Romans 12. Render not evil for evil. He talks about you can't overcome, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, we must never think and be overwhelmed by men. What we must consider is their evil. And so when we think about this and the evil that we consider, we cannot change evil men, but we can change the evil man's influence upon our lives. Those verses do not instruct us on how to do away with evil men. Those verses instruct us on how to do away with evil man's ways. You see, that's the key. There will always be, as long as sin is in this world, there will always be evil men. There will always be an evil man and the strange woman. We know that this is talking about a family and a multitude of sin. And so we understand that when wisdom enters into us, it is in order to give us deliverance from wickedness. So consider first of all the evil man. He says in verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things. I want to notice three things about the evil man. First of all, we consider the evil man's way. He says, to deliver thee from the way of evil man. Notice what he says in verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. He says in verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their path. So we consider here the evil man's way. We note the following expression, the way of evil men, the ways of darkness, whose ways are crooked, who are forward in their path. You see, evil men will always do evil, but what is concerning to see is that they leave the paths of uprightness. In other words, they had a knowledge of the paths of uprightness, but they have left those paths. You see, that's what is concerning here. We connect this departure from the paths of uprightness with a failure to have wisdom received in the heart. You see, he describes their ways. We find also, notice, you remember the strange woman? Notice what he says of her in verse number 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. And so here we're dealing with people, when we think about evil men and the strange woman, let us not think about people who have no knowledge of the way of the upright or who do not know the covenant of their God. Those are people who have been familiar with those things but who have left those things. These are not ignorant people. These are people who have made a choice, and their life is not a life led because they don't know any better. The life they lead is because they know better, but they've chosen not to live that way. They've forsaken the path of the upright. They've forsaken and forget the covenant of their God. You see, we've dealt with just a few messages ago as we talked about wisdom crying, and we asked ourselves, how has God manifested his wisdom in seed form to every man? Well, we have the law of God written in our hearts. We have the conscience. We have the parents who teach their children right from wrong, at least they should. And so there are many things, and he talks about, particularly when he mentions the strange woman, he says, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. And so this is an assumption that a child or a young person, a young man and a young woman begins their life, and they have the instruction of their parents, and they have the law of God written in their hearts, and they have their conscience and the guilt of sin and all those things. And so somewhere along the line, they have that information, and they turn and they choose to be involved in the ways of darkness. So the evil man, we see the evil man's way, but secondly, we see the evil man's words. Notice what he says in verse number 12. He says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You see, the way of evil man is always accompanied by words. He's not satisfied just to live a life. He has to influence with his words. You see, words are only used to convince the young mind to follow his ways. The word froward here that he says means perverse or twisted. Beware of the evil man. He has been down the same way before. The evil man will often be found saying something like this. I used to think that way, but now I'm free. Or I used to think that way, but now I understand things better. Isn't that interesting that they always say the same thing? And particularly, they like to prey on the young. Those who are the freshest, those who are, if you would, as he said in chapter 1, those who are the most simple ones. And he says, look, understand their way is evil, but understand the perverseness, the forwardness of their mouth. We find that in this book has much to say about the tongue and its influence upon our lives. And it should be alarming to our lives if the only time we think and speak words about God is in a church service. You see, our words, our conversations, whether we're in church or outside of church, should be speaking of God and the things of God. Why? Because if the church is the only place where we think we speak of the things of God, we'll find that everybody else is going to be speaking outside of church. And so we better be talking about God outside of church too, about the things of God. You see, there are so many voices out there that are crying out for the attention, for our attention, for the attention of our children, and words are often used. Froward, perverse, twisted. So we see the evil man's way, the evil man's words, but also thirdly, we see the evil man's wickedness. Notice what he says in verse 14. He says, "Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked." You see, it's not that they just do evil and they speak and influence people to do evil. They rejoice and they delight in it. They cheer when someone does something wrong. It's almost like this world. Have you ever noticed that this world likes to take the fresh student that had just left his home? They like to take the young person that grew up in a Christian school or has been homeschooled, and the world seems to have almost a thrill to take that person and to bring them out of that environment into worldliness and to say, look all that we have to offer. Look all the things you've missed. And they seem to rejoice and take joy in that. They delight in that. The word delight literally means to spin around. Just like little kids, when they're all happy, when they have a new toy, they just jump around, they spin around something. And that's what the wicked, evil man does. His wickedness, notice his way, his words, but also his wickedness. He delights, he rejoices in the influence that he has upon those who would at some point receive this knowledge and wisdom from God, because they themselves at some point departed from it. You see, that is the classic example of an evil person. To try to silence the conviction of God in his life and the guilt that he has of his life, he's going to try to find as many companions as possible so that he can soothe his own conscience. So we have, first of all, the evil man, but secondly, we find deliverance not only from the evil man, but also from the strange woman. In verse 16, he says, "To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. She forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." You see, wisdom is designed to deliver us from the evil man and to deliver us from the strange woman. Now, consider several things about the strange woman. First of all, the strange woman is deceptive. The Bible tells us here, "To deliver thee from the strange woman," again, much like the evil man, "even from the stranger which flattereth with her words." The word "flattereth" means, literally the word "flatter" means to be smooth. You see, the flattering lips are deceptive lips. The lips that flatter always have an ulterior motive. Flattery is not sincere, is not a sincere form of praise. It is designed as to put one's guards down. That's the flattery of the wicked, the strange woman. She kind of is smooth. And by the way, this is not talking about an individual woman. This is talking about sin in general. That's what sin does. That's what the work of wickedness does. It is smooth. It is deceptive. It brings your guards down so that you're easily deceived. Flattering words are designed to make you comfortable in order that you might be taken advantage of. You see, the flattering mouth disarms you that it may harm you. And this is the warning from the strange woman. She is deceptive. She flattereth with her words. We understand as we read the book of Proverbs, and we'll see later when he expounds upon the strange woman and the words that she says. Understand, we can apply that, yes, to a woman who is an harlot and the words and the temptation that she throws out there. But you understand that that speaks of sin in general? That's the appeal of sin. That's the lure of sin and what it does upon our lives. And so we see that the strange woman is deceptive, but also, secondly, the strange woman is defiant. Notice the Bible says in verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Why is this woman as she is? Why is she smooth? Why is she deceptive? Why is she trying to disarm us so that she can harm us? Well, because she has chosen to forsake the guide of her youth. Because she has chosen to forget the covenant of her God. You see, to forsake and forget is the opposite of what a wise man does. You see, the wise man, remember, he receives the words. He hides the commandments of God in his heart. He inclines his ear. He applies his heart. He cries after knowledge. He seeks after her as silver and as for hid treasures. But this strange woman has forsaken and has forgotten those things. And so understand here, the only thing that separates the strange woman from the wise man is that decision to say, I'm going to heed those things, receive those things, seek after those things, or I'm going to forget those things and forsake those things. You see the difference between wickedness and wisdom? On the one side, you decide to receive, you're wise. On the other side, you just forget and forsake, and you become the strange woman. By that decision. You see, the strange woman is deceptive. The strange woman is defiant. In Proverbs 1, notice verse in chapter 1, notice in verse 33, you remember what he said, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. The idea of forsaking and forgetting is the opposite of hearkening. The wise man hearkens. The strange woman has forsaken and has forgotten. You see, there are several areas that can be included in the mentions here, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. I believe that could apply to her father and mother. It could apply to her teachers, to the preachers, to her conscience as a witness, to her guilt over sinful behavior, to her inward knowledge of the law. She forsakes the guide of her youth. There is no neutral ground. She either hearkens or she forsakes. And in this case, she has decided to forsake the guide of her youth. And is it interesting here that he says to forsake the guide of her youth? The Bible indicates to us that the formative years that will influence the remainder of our lives are those early years. She forsaketh the guide of her youth. Almost as to indicate that if she makes a decision, whatever decision she makes, as she goes from youth to adulthood, will be there for the rest of their life. She not only noticed there, we see the idea of forsaking the guide of her youth, but also she forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now we could say, what is the covenant of her God? Well, I believe we could refer here to her knowledge of the law of God, and to her accountability to God. She forsaketh the covenant of her God. So she forsakes God and the fear of God, and she forsakes the law of God. And by the way, those two, by the way, go together. You see, the fear of the Lord, remember, is the beginning of knowledge. Later in Proverbs 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the fear of God is accompanied with the laws of God and the principles and the testimonies of God. And so those are accompanied together. And so she has forgotten those things, the covenant of her God. There is no fear of God in her life. You see, there is no neutral ground. She either retains deliberately or chooses to observe and retain the law of God. So we see the strange woman is deceptive, the strange woman is defiant, but we also see that the strange woman is dangerous. What does he say in verse 18? He says, "For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." He's talking here, notice, about death, the paths of the dead. "None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." You see, the impact of the evil man upon the life of the young man, and the impact of the strange woman, if the young man has been deceived by the evil man and deceived by the strange woman, it is very difficult to reverse its course. We're talking about the consequences of sin. There was a young woman who sought to keep herself pure in a college environment. Another single young lady who had lost her virginity mocked the girl for being old-fashioned. The pure young lady quickly replied, "Anytime I want, I can be like you, but never again can you be like me. I'll be able to present myself to my husband pure. You will present yourself to yours soiled." You see, the evil man and the strange woman take something from the young man, from the young woman, that they will never be able to get back. You see, he's talking here in the context about when wisdom is entered into you, understand that it's going to preserve your life. God has many wonderful things for this life, but understand the voices of the evil man and the voices of the strange woman are going to come in. Their ways are evil. They're going to be deceiving you. Understand that they have been where you are, but they have chosen to forsake the path of righteousness. They have decided to forsake and to forget the covenant of their God. They've decided to move away from that, but understand now they've lost something that they will never get again. You see, "None that go in unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." Which brings us to the third point. Not only do we see the entrance of God's wisdom, the deliverance from the wicked, but thirdly, the inheritance of our walk. He says in verse 20, he says, "That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." I believe he's talking here about the impact of the decision that you make, your inheritance. You see, for the one who has wisdom entered that preserves him, he says that you may walk the way of good men and keep the path of right. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But if you choose to go the way of the evil man and the way of the strange woman, you will be cut off from the earth and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. Now, I believe here in the context of the nation of Israel and Solomon, he's certainly referring back to the promises. Remember the covenant that God made with the children of Israel, that if they obeyed them as they entered into the land, they would be blessed of God. But if they disobeyed him, they would be cursed. And guess what happened? As the nation of Israel grew wicked, especially after the kingdom split, after the reign of Solomon, we find that the northern kingdom, after the nation of Israel was divided in two, because of their wickedness, the northern kingdom, 10 tribes, were taken into captivity. And then Judah eventually later And the tribe of Benjamin would be taken into captivity. Why? Because of their disobedience and the wickedness. In other words, that promise is going to be fulfilled. When Solomon wrote those words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to happen. You see, if we allow this wisdom to enter into our hearts, God says you will walk in the way of good men. You will keep the path of the righteous. You will continue in what you've been taught. Because the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth. You see, the pattern to follow is this. Wisdom must enter into our heart. Again, the importance of heart. That we may walk in the way of good men and keep or continue in the path of the righteous. You see, that's the pattern that we are to follow. Those who go before us, whose life we seek to emulate, and certainly there are many lives in the world that we would say are not worthy to emulate. But we're talking here specifically about the way of good men. We're talking about the path of the righteous. You see, wisdom enters into our hearts. You know, it is a wonderful thing to see a next generation, a third generation, a fourth generation following the Lord. But I believe at any moment, God can step in and change a person's life and make that life a first generation. See, I look back at my grandfather. My grandfather did not grow up in a Christian home. His father was a drunk. And my grandfather was, as he described himself, a fat kid who was always bullied in school. He ended up having Crohn's disease when he was 22 years old, and the doctor said he was going to die. Well, that young man, first-generation Christian, had five boys who served the Lord. And then the grandchildren, that's the third generation. Now, this is the fourth generation. That's a wonderful thing, to have first, second, third, fourth generation to serve God. But are we aware that it always starts with the first generation? There has to be a first generation. And so we see here the pattern to follow, as we see, is the way of good men and the paths of righteousness, which are clearly laid out in the Word of God. So we see the pattern to follow, the permanence of the faithful. He sees, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. You see, the truth is, if the young man follows the way of the evil man and the strange woman, that generation will be extinguished. From what? From the line of good men and from the path of righteousness. They're not going to be present in that. They're not going to be part of that. But the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall also remain and continue in it. And lastly, we see the perception of the froward. He says, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You know, in our society, the results of wickedness abound. The results. Disease, filth, all the sexual disease that you hear about today, and it is all the result of what? Sin. The way of wicked men. And we find that result, and we have a society where they're trying to do, they're trying to deal with the symptoms, but they're not trying to change their ways. And so may the Lord help us to realize that all the things that we see today, and as the world is trying to wrestle with all those disease and all that filth and all the immorality that is out there, and it's out of control. You see, that's the consequences of those things. For the children of Israel, we know that later, after the penning of those words, the nation of Israel will be taken into captivity, and the people, because of their idolatry, their immorality, and their wickedness, would be cut out of the land. It just shows us that God does not overlook sin. And as long as there's a God, there will always be consequences to sin in this world. And we see it before our eyes. But those who are wise are preserved, and God keeps them preserved if they choose the path. And so may the Lord help us to see that this wisdom will help us to be delivered.